Well, I could not be more excited to have Sandra here. And it's so funny because we all have these Southern accents, and she has a wonderful Midwestern accent. And I love the way she communicates and with such boldness. And so about 3 years ago, I don't even know how, because I don't even I didn't have like DirecTV or anything like that. I didn't really watch TV, but I guess I must have seen it on Facebook, but I saw a clip of Joni on Daystar, and do y'all know what that is? It's a talk show, and she was interviewing Sandra. I'd never seen Sandra before, but Sandra has written a book. It's called I Tried Until I Almost Died. Isn't that a great name? And we've got some of the books back there. She brought some books. Please get this book. And if you get 10, you get a discount. So, well, we don't have that many, so you better race to the table if you want that many. But I was blown away because my antennae are always out. You know, I can hear the sound of grace. And I was just like hyperventilating almost, you know, like, what is happening, you know? And I knew she was the real deal. And the Holy Spirit said, you will meet her one day. And just like it always happens, I didn't do anything. We get this email through the website, and Leah, who answers the email, sent it to me. And she said, do you know who Sandra McCollum is? I'm like, yes, I do. And you had seen a Q&A.
Yep.
That I had done with Connie Witter.
Yep.
And
I got excited. I started hyperventilating.
And wanted to know if she could put the link on her website. She's so kind to always, you know, ask permission, you know, to do that. But that was just such an awesome thing because it was a kiss from heaven for me. Because I had seen you and the Holy Spirit had said I would meet you. And then here you are in Birmingham, and we've met in person before. She came to Tulsa when I was there, and we went to the hospital together.
Yep.
So that was a good crash course in our friendship. But anyway, Sandra, I want you to tell them, before you get to your teaching,
sure,
a little bit like what I heard when I heard you for the first time on Joni about your story.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, so I was born again at the age of 8 years old, and I still remember sitting in my living room floor, you know, with my mom, with my sister, and my one brother. My other brother wasn't born yet. And so, but right from the beginning, I just thought, oh, I love God so much. I've always had a tender heart toward God. I want to please God. So then I spent the next 34 years of my Christian life, from age 8 to age 42, trying to please God, trying to live the Christian life, trying to put on a persona for people to be well thought of, really for them and for God. So I continued in that vein, and what I would do every morning, because I'm a real bubbly person and I'm a list maker, and there's nothing wrong with lists, but I was crazy about my list. I was like, so I would have in my mind, and I didn't do this when I was 8 years old, but as I grew older, I would have in my mind a list, a spiritual list of, I want to improve myself today. Somehow I want to get better today, you know, and spiritually, and then, or I want to get over this anger problem, you know, or I want to, and so then I'd have my natural list on this side of things, and I would have just so much on that list that like no human being could do it, you know, and so I just had, that's the only way I knew to get worth and value was by check marks, checking off my list. I did not know how to get worth and value out of anything but accomplishment, and I didn't know that I was doing anything wrong. I just thought in just doing both of those things and living the Christian life, I just thought, I knew it wasn't work. No, I didn't know. I didn't realize it wasn't working at the time. I didn't ask myself that question. And that's one of the questions I am going to be asking people in my teaching from now until I stop teaching is it really working for you? Because that's something that I didn't ask myself. you know? And I wasn't living in the freedom Jesus died to give me. But at the time, I didn't know. I was deceived. And I just thought, well, it's not working, but I just need to try harder. That's the answer. I need to try harder. So I kept trying harder, and it was driving me nuts. I mean, I was frustrated. I was almost in a perpetual state of anxiety and frustration, you know? I mean, I definitely had some good moments, but I mean, I remember even a few moments, Tricia, yeah. where just a few times in all those years where I thought, oh, wow, God, you love me. And it would just last for a few minutes, and then I go back to my works. I mean, I did not at all, of course, have a revelation of God's love. In fact, why those moments were so powerful to me was because at the base of all my problems, I believe, was a wrong perception of God. Most of the time, I thought he was standing over me just waiting for me to mess up. And when I messed up, boy, he was going to beat me over the head. So he was just waiting for me to make a mistake. So I was afraid of God. I mean, I lived in this, you know, like, I want to do everything right, you know, perfectionism, legalism, you know. So I get up every morning, and I do have a bubbly personality, so I'd be like, whoa, another day to check off my list. But the whole thing was, I was just doing it to get worth and value for myself, so I could feel good about myself, and so I could impress other people. Because believe me, and you know, if you live under the law instead of under grace, which we'll talk about tonight, it is all about that. If you're doing good, then you're better than everybody else, you think. And if you're doing bad, then you're worse than everybody else. So that's what I did for 34 years. I went, woo, woo, woo. I vacillated back and forth, you know, all the time. And I was just not stable. And my husband, I've been married for almost 27 years. In October, it'll be 27 years. Love my husband. They're not here tonight. And by the way, hi, I love you, honey. If you're watching by Facebook Live, and if you're not, it's okay, because you're not under the law. You don't have to. And to Angel and Star, I want to say hi. And I want to say hi to all the other people watching by live stream. And I just hope you really get blessed and encouraged tonight. And that if you do have the veil of legalism over your eyes, that it will just fall right off tonight. So I believe that. We prayed in the back for that.
Yes,
so.
We did.
But I would just get up on what I call.
I'm with you because I'm sitting here going, okay, I have some questions to ask, but you're answering all of them before
okay.
I could even
okay,
ask.
Okay, good. Is that what you want me to do?
You keep
okay. okay. I would get up on what I call my treadmill of accomplishment every morning. Like I said, I was real bubbly about it, but then I would just run. And that's why my breathing pattern was even like, that's how I lived for 34 years, trying to gain worth and value. But what would happen is I couldn't get my list checked off, not my spiritual to-do list, because we can never change ourselves by our own self-efforts. But I didn't know that at the time, see? And even my, you know, natural to-do list, what I would do at the end of the day is I would feel like either, you know, I'm a failure because I lost my temper, or I'm a failure because I didn't get my list checked off over here. And I mean, I would go into panic mode at the end of almost every day. I would just panic, and I did not know that I was messed up, believe it or not. And I thought, well, I'm just doing the Christian life the way I'm supposed to. But I would start blurting out things to my kids and my husband, not every night, but, you know, too many nights. And I would just say, you know, like to my husband, you don't give me enough compliments. You need to compliment me more, you know, because I was feeling panicked about me feeling like I was a failure. And so, to my daughters, I'd say, because back then I had to have everything around me perfect because I didn't know who I was in Christ. So I didn't know I was perfect in Christ. Right? We're perfect. You are flawless in Christ, okay? Not in yourself, but in Christ Jesus, because of him. And because of that, I didn't know that then I had to have everything perfect around me, see? Because that made me feel better about myself. So I would say to the girls, my twin girls were 9 when God set me free, but for the first 9 years, it was rough. And for the first 20 years of my marriage, it was rough for my husband. I would say to them, come on, girls, these things are laying around. Let's get this stuff picked up. Let's clean up this mess, you know, because I had to have that stuff, you know. And so, but I would always feel bad about, I mean, I lived under guilt and condemnation. Are you kidding? I basically lived buried under guilt and condemnation almost all the time. And I know a lot of Christians do. I've talked to enough Christians to know that is a major, major problem. And so I would feel bad about it. And, you know, I would apologize. But I never got better. Like, I didn't get free. You know, I kept living this way year after year after year. So I was sick different times throughout because I was under such a high level of stress, you know. And in 2009, I got really sick. I developed a cyst, and it grew to the size of a cantaloupe. And I had to get that cyst surgically removed. But by the time I got it surgically removed, it was so big that the doctor accidentally nicked my ureter tube. And I didn't know what it was back then, but I know now. It's the tube between your kidney and your bladder, your ureter tube, and the one on the right side. He nicked that accidentally. It was just too hard to do the surgery because I had waited so long saying, I'm believing God to be healed, but actually I wasn't believing God. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. So he nicked that, and then I was nauseous for like 6 weeks after that surgery, and I was like, well, I guess it's just recovering from the surgery, you know. And my husband said, you need to tell the doctor at your follow-up appointment. So when he did, he sent me to a urologist, and he confirmed that it was, so the ureter tube had just went like this and closed up, which of course will damage your kidney if that stays that way too long. And so, you know, they had to put a stent in. So they did that for 2 weeks. They kept the stent in, hoping to that would just heal in the open position. Then, so I did that procedure, and then I was put on, you know, under anesthesia, right? Is that what it's called? Okay. And when I woke up, I got some of the worst news I'd ever been given. The doctor said it didn't work. He was hoping when he took it out, it would stay opened, right? So it not only did it close back up, he couldn't get the stent back in. So he said, now what we're going to have to do, I remember laying there thinking, my gosh, what? It was terrible. He said, we're going to have to put a nephrostomy tube in your back and through your kidney and down, you know, into your, open it up that way. And so they did that, and it was so painful. That first tube they put in, and they did eventually change it, but the first tube stayed in for a long time, and it was, must have been really big. It was definitely hitting a nerve. I've never been through that much pain in my life. I would literally sit and sob from the pain. So they did eventually change that out, and it was at least better. But they, so now their goal was, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go through here. We're going to open that up and balloon that out and just hope that heals in the open position. Again, I thought I was believing God, but let me tell you what I was really believing. And I didn't realize so much of this God opened up to me when he changed my life in 2012, but I was really believing in the back of my mind, you know, God's allowing this to happen. He's causing this. He's teaching me a lesson because of some bad choices that I've made, because I had made some bad choices, but I believed wrong about God. I don't believe that way anymore. He's a good, good father. He does not cause, nor does he allow anything bad. And I just want to encourage you with that, because I know that's a really prevalent thought among Christians. And that is just so sad to me that Christians believe that way about him. And I mean, I can actually get kind of mad when I hear about it and I have to settle myself down. But it's just because I believed that way for so long. And I'm telling you, it really messed me up to believe about God that way. And so I wasn't really believing, in other words. So I woke up, they did that procedure at the end of, I guess it might have been the end of 2009, maybe 10, I think it was in 2009. They did that, I had that nephrostomy tube in for 2 months. So they thought, okay, this is gonna work. And I was like, thought I was believing this is gonna work. Well, I woke up from that procedure, it didn't work. So, I mean, I was really faced with having to make some decisions. And after that procedure, I got sepsis. So that's a really bad, I guess, infection. And is it? and I was vomiting, and I was just terrible. I just really did not think I was going to make it out of the hospital alive. I had a high fever. And so got through that. And then God just helped me meet up with a doctor from Washington University, which is a great university in St. Louis, Missouri. And he did, well, what happened is the cyst, all this is going on, right? And the cyst started to grow back. And so now I was looking at, I need to get a hysterectomy, and I need to get the ureter tube fixed. So there was two choices. I had to live with a stent in for the rest of my life, which I definitely did not want to do, or I had to take a chance on fixing that ureter tube. But I mean, they literally, it was so bad, they had to, when he got in there, he told me this afterwards, they had to turn my bladder, so my bladder's turned differently than most people's, and they had to cut the ureter tube and stretch it and fit it in there, implant it. And that's what he did, and you know, gave me a hysterectomy, and so I had that double surgery, and it worked, thank God. And it's kept. I have had two different times I've had an infection, just because of the way that it is, I can get like what they call reflux back up into my kidney, and if I'm not careful, like if I get an infection, then I have to just, I'm supposed to just go right away on antibiotics. And so two times, and I will do that. I'm not against that at all. And so, but last time I got it, it was when Tricia was in, I was in Tulsa to attend a Women of Grace conference, the last one of the year, of last year. And so I got this bladder infection, and I thought, I'm just going to try, you know, it had been a long time since I got one. And I like to use natural stuff if I can. It's just how I am. So we went to Walgreens and got something natural, and it didn't work. And so the next day, I went to the first meeting. You taught that night, right? Did you teach that night? No, you taught the next morning. I missed you. So, but then I got a high fever the next day. I was staying at someone's house, and I got a high, and we were all staying together. And I was at the house by myself, and my heart started beating so fast because of this infection. I literally had to call an ambulance for myself. And I was on the phone with Tricia, and she was like, stay on the phone with me till they get there. And so when we got to the hospital, they found out it was pyelonephritis, it's called, and it was a kidney infection. So I'm believing I'm never going to get a kidney infection again, though. I'm just believing that I'm never, and this time I'm really believing because I believe I've got a good daddy. And so, but all that happened, okay, and by the time I was released from the doctor back in 2011, from that happening and from all the struggling all those years as a Christian, trying to live the Christian life, thinking I was doing it right, but it not working, I just told God, this was right after Christmas in 2011, I can't do this anymore, God. I said, I can't live the Christian life. I really believe I was threatening to quit Christianity that day. Because I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. It finally hit me. This is not working. And I was so fed up. So, but I told God that day, I said, I need serious help. And he hears us when we pray. He hears us when we cry out to him. And so a week later, this is good. It's going to get good now. Really good. This is January 2nd, 2012. I was having my devotional time. And that's another thing that's really changed in my life is when, before Grace, I would have devotional time on a regular basis, but I didn't do it out of a heart of devotion. I did it because I thought God would be mad at me if I didn't. And so that's sad, isn't it? But now I can't put the Bible down. Like before, when I read the Bible, and I have my scriptures on an iPad, but I'll just use this. When I read the Bible, I would just go, okay, what rule is there in this verse that I need to follow so I can be pleasing to God? That's how I read the Bible. And I think that's the way a lot of Christians read the Bible. Okay? They don't see it through a new covenant lens. But I didn't know any of this at the time. So I was just doing what I thought I was supposed to do. So 1 week later, though, I was having my devotional time with God. And it was 2012, New Year, January 2nd. And I asked God, you'll totally relate to this, Amy, is there anything more you want me to do for you, God, this year? And that was ridiculous for me to be asking that because I already was spending all my time trying to do for God. You know, that's all I ever did. You know, I just tried to live the Christian life so, so hard. And that's why my book's called I Tried Until I Almost Died. So that morning, I felt real plainly that he was just like, no, I don't want you to do anything else for me, Sandra. And right then, I felt like the love of God just swept into the room like a tidal wave. Never felt anything like that before, but it's not left me since. And God made it very clear to me, Sandra, I love you for you. Amen. I just love you because you're my daughter. I just love you just because you're my child. Not for anything you do for me. And I mean, I got it. I was like, he loves me. Sorry, I do that sometimes. He loves me. Sorry, I'll go back here. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I mean, you do not. I mean, it was just like, oh my gosh. I got it. Okay. But that, I still just thought, oh, that was a really good devotional time, but I didn't know what had happened to me. Okay. I remember thinking that day, wow, that was a really good devotional time, you know? But the next morning I got up and I couldn't find my treadmill. It was gone. I totally lost the need to get up on that treadmill and run for worth and value anymore. Because I knew then, God loves me. I'm worth what I'm worth because I'm his child. I'm valuable because I belong to him, you know? And I got it. I still didn't know the immensity of what had happened to me, but the next day, so I just felt such peace because I wasn't running for worth and value anymore. And then what happened is I didn't tell my family. They didn't know anything had happened yet. And I just would go through the day, and you know, I just spent so much of my time panicked. I mean, I literally can tell you, my husband did not know what to expect the first 20 years when he came home from work. I mean, almost every day, he didn't know what to expect because I was like, woo! If I was doing good, I was up. If I was being a good Christian, if I was failing, I was, you know, I was like that. And so this changed. I began to respond to life totally different. And I was shocked. I was like, wow, like that didn't freak me out. Wow, I feel peaceful. And I still was like, wow. I mean, I literally didn't tell anybody. I watched it for like, I think it was like 26 days to be exact, because I remember it happened on the 2nd. And on the 28th of January, I wrote in my Mac journal, typed in my Mac journal, okay, it's obvious something has happened to me because I am totally different. God has done something to me, done something in me. And then after that, I told my family. And I apologized to them. First of all, I just got them together. And I have twin girls, 15 years old, by the way. And then I told you, my husband and I have almost been married 27 years. And this time was, they were 9 years old, though. And so that's how long ago it's been. And I just told them, I said, God's done something in me. I'm different. And I was just bawling. And I was seeing what I had done to them, you know, in addition to myself. Because, you know, the way I thought and what you believe, Pastor Mark was talking about this today. I'm like, ah, what you believe is so important. So important. And I believed, this is what I believed about God. I believed he was treating me like this. Sandra, you're coming up just a little bit short all the time. You're not quite getting it right, ever. Okay? That's how I treated my kids. I passed it along. I treated them the way I thought God was treating me. Isn't that interesting? So I apologized to them that day and asked them to forgive me. And I just saw what I had done to them. And I really buried myself under more rules than them. But still, they put up with a lot. You know, I mean, I was never abusive, like physically abusive. But I mean, it was just like, it wasn't like a comfortable feeling to be around me with, you know, it's not ever going to be that way if you're the type of person that's like, you know, this person feels like they have to measure up to you. You may be in relationships like that, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And so I was just, you could see the relief on my family's face, and especially my kids' face, when they saw, wow, what God had done. So I just continued my journey from that time on. And from that time till this, I mean, God has just helped me. It's definitely been a journey. But what I'm going to teach you tonight, I'll kind of interject and kind of refer back to my story, okay? So tonight's message is trust in Christ, not the law, okay? So did you know that biblically speaking, there's an old covenant and a new covenant? Well, I didn't know that. That was one of the things that my husband and I learned in the first year through a book that we read, and I was like, whoa! We had no idea we were living in the new covenant. Because we didn't know that, see, we were living as if we were still in the old covenant. So again, something can be true about you, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to be real in your life. It's not going to work for you. And so that's why our belief system is so, so important. And so what does it mean to trust in the old covenant of law? It's when a person places their faith in what they think they have to do to win God's approval. Love, forgiveness, favor, blessing, and on and on and on. It's all about us needing to do, do, do. So it's really focused on you, me. I see people out there elbowing each other. That's hilarious. That's okay. That's okay. I hope you find yourself in my story tonight. You know what? I want to spend the rest of my life helping people see how good God is, that He loves them so much. Oh my gosh, so much. I receive God's love every day now. I've spent all these years, and I mean, it's been a journey. Like I said, there's been lots of things I've learned along the way. But I mean, I don't go a day without receiving God's love. It's very natural to me now. Like I'm so addicted to it. You know, I do it in different ways. You know, like there was a rose up on my counter one day and I was standing there doing dishes at my sink. And I just started to imagine me holding that rose and going, He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And I started crying. I started crying, just receiving God's love. So I just do things like that, you know. And so God will change you by just that one thing, receiving His love. Oh, you'll be changed so deeply, you know. And all of us are changing and growing. I mean, like, I am learning every day. I get a deeper and deeper revelation of who I am in Christ, you know. So we're all on a journey. Nobody's better than anyone else. We're all in this together, okay. But when we live under the law, it is all about us, like what we need to do, okay? So let me ask you a question. Does that sound restful? It's not. Yeah, and you know that. And but I didn't. I mean, I was really deceived in thinking this is the way I'm supposed to do my Christian life. So what does it mean to live under the new covenant of grace? It's when a person places their faith in what Jesus has already done for them through His death and resurrection, both for salvation and for everyday living. Yes. Now see, that's many Christians receive salvation by grace, but then they try to maintain their Christian life through works. And that's what I did. That was my story, you know. I have, in my book back there, I have one of my call-outs in the book is, God loved you when you were dead in sin, and He did not switch you over to an earn His love program once you got saved. Right? He loved you when you were dead in sin, and He didn't switch you over to an earn His love program once you got saved. So, it's when a person places their faith in what Jesus has already done for them through His death and resurrection, both for salvation and for everyday living. It's all about what Jesus has done. So, what happened is God... Oh, let me ask you a question. Does that sound restful?
Yes.
It is. And what happened? So, God just took me and shifted my focus from myself to Jesus. And it was life-changing. I mean, I really got it. Wow, this isn't all about me. And that helped me on so many levels because I had a big problem with pride all those years. And I would have loved to have been up here. Like, wow, this makes me cool. I'm better. I'm better than somebody else. I don't think that way at all anymore because my heart's changed. Grace changes your heart, you know? And it's really cool because God can begin to use you in ways because I don't want none of the credit. No. Anything I do that's good, it's by God's grace. That's it. End of the conversation. Okay? So when people, and they'll compliment me or encourage me, and that's great. You know, I love encouragement. But, I mean, I literally let it go, woo, right over my head. Right over my head. And I know that's God, because I am telling you, if you knew the pride problem that I had, and I tried to get so free from that, but what freed me is knowing it's not about me. It's not about what I need to do. It's about what Jesus has already done for me. Okay? Now, that has a great result. Because what happens is you want to go full force for God. Like, you don't have to teach somebody, now, you know, you need to know that, and then you need to go out and start doing these things. They're going to do them, believe me. I want to spend the rest of my life telling people the good news now. Nobody had to talk me into that. Once I knew it was about Jesus and everything he's done, and I keep receiving that, of course, on a daily basis, you know, then that's just the natural result of that, see? It's like when we know we've been forgiven. Then we want to forgive, right? Because we know, wow, God, you've forgiven me. And you spend your day. See, I like to teach people something. So many times, and I believe this for many years, but I don't need more. We think, like, if Trisha would, this is a dumb example because she would never do this. If Trisha would come up here and slap me or something, that what she did makes me have to react to her. But really, it's not. Or just use somebody verbally abusing you, you know, verbally saying something unkind about you, gossiping about you, saying something behind your back. Does that ever happen to anybody? Okay. Well, it doesn't, though. It's really what you've been spending, the moments of your day thinking about before that. Because if you've been focusing on God's goodness, God's love for you, the fact that Jesus hung on that cross, and because he shed his blood for you, you're forgiven, then you are able to respond to this person with love. I mean, it just is a natural thing. You don't even have, it's so amazing how I tried so hard for so many years to have all this fruit, and now it's just popping out effortlessly because of Jesus. And I know it's all because of Jesus. So I know it's not me. You know, I know it's the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. But the other day, I have a story on this. And the other day I was at a nail shop, and I'm not saying that I always react perfectly, but when I don't, it's because of my believing what I'm spending the moments of my day believing went off course somewhere, okay? Right believing leads to right living. Okay? And that's okay. There's no condemnation. We're all on a journey. If I could convince you to do one thing tonight, it would be don't ever spend another moment of your life under guilt and condemnation. Because it does you no good. It will pull you down into sin, more often. Okay? So if I could get you to just do that one thing, and just know what God taught me. I'll get back to the other story in a minute. Sometime, maybe the first year of my journey, I realized how much guilt and condemnation I was under. And he was teaching me. The Holy Spirit was teaching me. And I had just screamed at my kids. Does anybody ever do that? And I was going to feel guilty again. I was going to get buried. I was just going to allow myself to be buried under that mountain of guilt and condemnation again. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit reminded me, no, Sandra, you don't have to do that anymore. You know something now that you didn't know before. So instead of doing that, I rejected the guilt and condemnation. I purposely, it's like I have a wall up and I won't receive guilt and condemnation. Now, am I ever tempted to feel guilty or condemned? Yes, but I mean, I just don't. I pretty much don't mess with it. I can tell you that. Because of this. God showed me when I do that, I'm really dishonoring what Jesus did for me. I'm really saying to him, you did a pretty good job, Jesus, but not quite good enough. So I need to add in some of my guilt and condemnation to make sure I'm covered. And man, when I got that day, I mean, I remember crying. I was like, oh. It was a holy moment. It was like, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, Jesus, for dishonoring you and your finished work. He finished the work Okay. And that really, really helped me. And so I just really want to encourage you with that, with guilt and condemnation. So that day when I screamed at my kids, instead of coming under guilt and condemnation, this was a process. I was learning each time, and I literally turned away from what I did. I didn't, because that's another thing I would do. I would fight with myself when I'd like scream at my kids and be like, oh, I can't be that way. I gotta stop being that way. Oh, I gotta get better. I can't be that way. God's mad at me. Oh my gosh. Okay, that's what I would do. I would fight with that sin. I made an about face, and I do this all the time now. I turned from that sin, and I turned directly to Jesus. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that because you shed your blood on that cross, I'm forgiven right now for what I just did. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. And you, thank you, God, that you love me. Father, you're such a good, good Father. You love me right now. Your love hasn't changed for me because I screamed at my kids. Now, I'm not saying the screaming at your kids is okay. You will not think that way when you come under grace. Grace does not give you a license to sin like some people think. It is not. Your heart is so changed from doing what I'm just telling you right here, okay? Your heart is like, oh, I'm so in love with Jesus. He keeps forgiving me even though I do dumb stuff. You know, I mean, he has forgiven me already. And we just keep receiving it, see? I keep receiving that gift of righteousness. Do you know you've been made righteous? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. If you're a believer in Jesus, I'm talking about if you've accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, you're loved, you're righteous, you're forgiven, you're accepted, you're qualified. And it's all because of what Jesus did for you. It's not because of what you do. So, if I'm qualified because of what Jesus did for me, can I be unqualified by screaming at my kids? No, I can't. I can't undo what he did at the cross. But what I can do is choose to not believe it. Okay, so that's really where the issue is. It's our believing. And so I turned that day, and man, it just makes me fall so in love with Jesus. I'm telling you, when I do something dumb, it just makes me fall so in love with Jesus because I refuse to fight with it and to try to improve myself. But then what happens is I fall. It just changes my heart more and more every time I receive his grace. You know what God's grace is? It's his unmerited favor. Unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. So if you're only receiving it when you think you deserve it, then you're not really receiving grace, are you? Right? We have to receive his grace no matter what. No strings attached, okay? Now, this sounds to some people, they think, well, I don't know now. People are going to go wild. They're going to go crazy and go crazy sinning. And, you know, I mean, I don't know that you can tell people this, but you can. I'm telling you, when people have it. Now, I'm not saying there's not people out there that are saying, I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want. And they go off and they're living a sinful lifestyle. I know that's happening sometimes. But those are people who don't really understand God's grace. They don't understand Jesus as the person of grace. You know, grace is a person, and his name is Jesus. And so it just doesn't do that to you. I mean, it just makes you just fall so in love with Jesus. I mean, I was laying in bed last night. I'm staying at Trisha's house, just crying. Just crying because I love Jesus. Not crying because I get to be up on a stage. Not crying because I would have done that before because all these people are going to be looking at me. Just crying because I'm his child. Just crying because I have this sweet, sweet relationship with him. That's what I care about. And I want to do this. I'm thank you for having me. I didn't even say that. Sorry. You don't care. But I mean, I so appreciate them. I have so enjoyed getting to know your pastors. Oh my goodness. They're awesome. Awesome people. And thank you, Tricia, for setting this up. So I appreciate it, but I wasn't crying about that. I was just like, oh, you're so faithful. You're so faithful, God. You know, just that he's given me the message. He's putting it together. He's helping me know what to say. You know, every time I get up here, he's faithful because I'm not depending on myself. I'm depending on him. And you know what? I could walk off this floor. It's not a platform. I'm not on a platform. I could walk off this floor and go sit down. And even if I failed miserably, I'm not a failure. Nothing. When you get that, I mean, you cannot be shaken. When you know your security is in Christ and not what you do, you literally become unshakable. Because I could sit down knowing, oh, I messed that up. But I wouldn't second guess myself probably because I don't do that much anymore either. And I just leave it in God's hands, you know. But because I have my faith in Him, which is, I'm going to tell you about more of this, okay? Here, it's on my notes. Because I have my faith in Him, it just makes you unshakable. Because when we have our faith in ourselves, you really are shakable because we're not, we know we don't always do it right, right? So, but it's His obedience. We're blessed because of Jesus' life of perfect obedience to His Father. Okay, that's why we're blessed. And these may be very new concepts to some of you or some of you watching by live stream. It's okay. Every one of us here who have a revelation of grace went, really? You're kidding. You mean to tell me it's that easy? You mean to tell me my one job is to believe in Jesus? Jesus even said this to His disciples. They asked Him, what should we do to be working the works of God? He said, believe in the one whom I have sent. God said, you know. And so I was just like, wow, when I got that, wow, that's so easy. And then you begin to have effortless fruit. But it really is about placing our faith in Jesus and not us. So let's go on. Wait, I didn't tell you the story, did I? Okay, so I go, got the Holy Spirit is, because the way my brain works, I go, pew, 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 pew. And that's okay though. I like myself. I used to not like that about myself. And now I think I'm hysterical. And my husband says I'm like his entertainment for sure. And so, but it's neat when I'm preaching, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit always brings me back to what I need to do. So it's cool. So I went into a nail shop the other day. I got my nails done. And when I was leaving the shop, I messed up several nails. I went into my car to do something, and I didn't wait long enough for him to drive. So I knew I was going to have to go back in and tell the owner that I have messed up my nails. And I was, you know, thinking, okay, you know, I don't know how he's going to feel about that. Because I just got done, and he was busy. And he shook his head in disgust at me telling him that. But it didn't move me. Because I know I'm loved, and I live by every word my Father says about me. My good, good Heavenly Father, okay? I don't live by what other people think of me. Now, that doesn't mean I never get tempted to do that. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect in that, but I mean, I'm growing in this. I love it. It's really a growing in grace is what we do. We grow in grace, okay? And so I was just able to be calm, not be angry at Him at all, and just walk in love. And I know it's by the grace of God. So when this happens, I'm not like, oh, wow, I'm really mature, you know. I'm just like, thank you, God. Yeah. Grace makes you real thankful, you know, real thankful. And so I just sat there, waited for Him to fix, and I just kept love. I just kept, you know, being peaceful and walking in love. And I mean, that man I watched before my eyes, he got nicer and nicer and nicer as I was there. I love the way loving people, and we can do that when we're receiving God's love, see? It's not something you have to go, oh, I gotta love this person. It's like you're just receiving God's love so much. See, that's what you need to spend the hours of your day doing. Not feeling like, oh, I got this list I got to do for God. I got to get over this anger problem. No, you got to receive. You got to receive. That's your job. You got to believe and receive, okay? You receive what Jesus has already died to give you. Receive what's true about you. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm righteous. I'm forgiven. And when you do that, it's going to flow right out of you, real naturally, you know. So I was able to do that, and I just watched that man change right before my eyes, and I was just like, that is so cool. I love to see love, God's love in us, flowing out through us. I love to see that break down walls for people, because I don't know what that man's been through. Number one, they probably work so many hours. They probably work like 6 to 7 days a week. And, you know, I don't have to work 6 to 7 days a week. So I don't know what their life's like, you know. And so I just thank God for that. But I was able to, first of all, not get mad at myself. That would be something I would have done before. Oh, Sandra, come on. Can't you do anything right? Oh, you should have seen the way I talked to myself before. It was terrible. And talked about myself. Always felt like a failure. But it was because I had my eyes on me. There again, okay? All right, so I'm going to read you. I'm going to read quite a bit, but I'll stop whenever I feel like it's the right time. First of all, I want to go to Galatians 3, verse 1. I think they're going to put it up there. So I'll stop and talk, you know, do we have Galatians? If not, it's totally fine. I can just read it. Okay, so you crazy Galatians. Oh, we don't have the message. Okay, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Pastor. Okay, I'm going to read out of the message, okay? So you can take that down. That's fine. Okay, you crazy Galatians, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, who had come into a revelation of grace, but then they tried to go back to works, which is really crazy. But guess what? I did it last year. I went back to trying to do things for about 3 months last year of my own self-efforts, and that peace left. I was anxious and frustrated again. I didn't know what was going on. I was trying to make stuff happen in my own flesh, and I met with a friend, and it came down to, it's very simple. This life of grace is very, very simple. It was just coming down to me needing to get my focus back on Jesus again. And when I did, the peace came back and the joy. So, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? So think about that just a minute. Think about the day you got saved. And if you're not born again, you can receive Jesus tonight. Think about the day you received Jesus. Was it like from you doing all kinds of things? You just believed, right? You just believed and received, right? So he's saying here, how did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Okay? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. Remember I said, and I was in this trap, so many Christians get saved by faith. They receive salvation by grace, excuse me. Actually, you receive by faith. You receive grace by faith. And then they try to maintain their Christianity through works. And that's why we have a whole bunch of angry and frustrated Christians, okay? And so are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? So what happened to me is that first year in my grace journey, God led me. I don't even remember how it happened, but he led me to read Galatians 3. And I was bawling, seeing what I had done all those years. It was just really a real time of revelation for me through Galatians 3. So let's see. Now I'm losing my place here. Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Answer this question. I like the way they're reading. Does the God who lavishly... So answer this question, okay? Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving? Or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. Okay, and that's exactly how it happens with us. Verses 7 and 8. Is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith? It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews by faith. By faith in what? Faith in God's grace. Okay? Scripture anticipated this in the promise to Abraham, all nations will be blessed in you. So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham, who lived by faith. And that can be us, right? If we just, all we have to do is receive and believe, okay? Jesus did it all. He finished the work, all right? I have a lady, a number of ladies who I've been talking with. They're on my Facebook page, and they represent a group of ladies. I know they won't care if I tell this at all, from Hendersonville, Tennessee. And this one lady's probably in her 70s, I would say, and she was messaging me, and she said, "I just found your Facebook page, and I've been getting grace, and I have been struggling under the law for 30 years. She said, "I can't stop crying. I realize now the struggle is over. The struggle is over." Because it's that simple, okay? It's so simple it trips people up, okay? Because it's just Jesus did it all, and we believe it, okay? And then so much fruit comes out of that, you know? Effortless fruit. It's so amazing. Okay, so I'm just so excited about that. In fact, I get so excited about those things. I was just like, needing to go to the grocery store the other day. I was messaging back and forth with this lady and just encouraging her, you know, and she got my book. She said, "We just got your book and we're going to start it tonight." And I was excited about that, but I could not calm down. I get so excited when people get the good news because I know what it did to me. I mean, my life has been revolutionized, okay? And I want that to happen to everyone who has that veil over their eyes, okay, like I did. And so I was so excited. I was just like, "Calm down, Sandra. You got to go to the grocery store." Oh, my gosh. And so those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. And that means that anyone who tries, this is good. This is what happened to me. Anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, that's how I lived my Christian life, is doomed to failure. And that's why I felt like a failure, because I was doing it in my own efforts, okay? Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. Because if you're going to live by the law, then you got to do it all. So be my guest if you want to live by the law, but good luck. Because you got to do everything. If you mess up in one little area, then you failed, totally failed the whole thing. So you can either do that, and we all have to choose which way we want to do. And really, we have to choose every moment of every day how we want to live, right? Because and we don't always do it right. It's okay. There's no guilt and condemnation, and you're going to get freer faster if you don't receive guilt and condemnation. But I mean, you really do, and I really do, always have to make a choice. Do we live this way, or are we just going to go, "Jesus, I just receive from you. I receive from you." Like the other day, and I just love telling stories to make my point. I'm staying with Tricia, and I was downstairs. She's giving me a wonderful room and a bathroom. And I was, first morning I was here. And a friend of mine texted me. She's probably watching by live stream. And I knew I shouldn't answer that text because I needed to I wanted to spend time studying more and getting ready. But I answered her text because I'm big time a people person, okay? And then it was back and forth. And me and her can go back and forth like that, like, you know, really back and forth a lot. And I just spent too much time on it. And then it was when we were getting ready to record A Real View of the Grace Life, your TV show. And I had everything done by the time I needed to leave, but not my makeup on. So, yeah, I took my makeup with me, and it ended up working out. But the thing I did different than I normally would have is I would have before been like, "Okay, Sandra, how stupid of you to, you know, do that." And I would have thought God was mad at me. But then, because I was living under the law then I would have just been doomed to disappointment. And I just would be in all kinds of unbelief, and nothing probably would have gone right. But I just, instead, I went, "Yep, I know I shouldn't have done that, Father. I thank you so much that you love me. You've forgiven me. I'm righteous in you." And I just keep receiving his grace no matter what, see? Because I don't have to beat myself up. He's not beating me up. God's not beating me up. Okay? And I just keep receiving his grace. And then I just go into believing mode. Okay? I love this. I live like this now. So I'm just getting ready and going, "I just believe this is going to work out." And it did. I had time to put my makeup on. We had plenty of time before I would have been like, "Oh, you know, no, you know, I might have even been afraid you're going to be mad at me," which she's not like that at all. But, you know, I would have just been, I just lived in so much fear before, you know, because I lived under the law and it was all about me, you know, what I do. Now I just turn and I start believing in God's goodness, even when I make a mistake. Okay? So 11 and 12, the obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person, I love this, the person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Oh, I love that. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping. A fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule keeping, continues to live by them. Okay, best part here. 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. See, Jesus fulfilled the law. That's why we don't have to live under it anymore. He ushered us into a brand new covenant by what he did through his finished work, okay? And so Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Now I'm going to stop there and I'm going to just read a few scriptures down here. That's what I feel I should do. And then we'll stop. Why, here, let me see here. Why is this so important? Why is what I'm talking about so important? I think I've probably already proved my point, but I just want to say it's important because you literally cannot live in the freedom that Jesus died to give you if you're going to live under the law. You won't. You'll struggle your whole life. And I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for us, you know? And he gives us free will. We get to choose. Like last year, I chose to go my own self-effort route in this one area of my life. And it caused me so much frustration. But man, the minute I turned and went back to him, the peace returned, you know? So it's good. It's good that we don't, you pretty much can't mess it up. The only way you can mess this up is by believing wrong and choosing to believe, not believe what Jesus has done for you, okay? So that's why it's so important. You know, I think I've already proved, and I've got stuff here, but I mean, when you live under grace, it causes you to be at peace, causes you to live in rest. You know, I mean, I just live such a life of peace now, and I'm telling you, it's not based on my circumstances. You know, anybody can live in peace when their circumstances are going great, but I am telling you, I live in peace like 95% of the time when I'm, you know, walking in grace. Not that 3 months last year, that was way down probably, you know, because I lived by my own efforts. But God wasn't beating me up for that, you know, and I didn't even have to be condemned about that. I just made that turn, man, when I knew what I was doing. I just said, okay, I'm going to go from unbelief back to, or believing in myself back to believing in Jesus, see? And man. It's such a wonderful life. You know what happened to me when I began to live this way? When I stopped living as if I was under the old covenant of law and I began to live under new covenant of grace, I began to also learn to live a spirit-led life, because before that, I lived out of my head all the time because I was real fearful. So I was like, well, I have to have it all figured out. I mean, I can't do it if it doesn't make sense in here. And so... I began to live spirit-led, and I mean, I just love the spirit-led life now. Like, it's the biggest adventure ever, and God will, you know, he'll, like one day I didn't get to the grocery store in time, so I thought, instead of going, oh, like I would have before, Sandra, get it together. I mean, if you guys even knew sometimes how disorganized and how in the natural, unput together that I feel. But see, I don't go by that anymore. I throw myself on the grace of God. If I went by my feelings and how I feel sometimes, then I would just think, I can't do this. I can't do this, man. I'm not dependent on myself, okay? I'm not dependent on myself. So when I couldn't get to the grocery store that day, instead of going, oh, come on, Sandy. You know, I mean, I did that for years. I just went, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to stay in peace, and it's choice, you know. When we have our eyes on Jesus, we're going to be at peace, okay? And so I just went to the grocery store, and I thought, I wonder if God needs me at the grocery store right now for someone. Instead of going, I didn't accomplish my schedule. I wonder. Well, he did. I was there, and then I even asked someone there about some crackers, and so special crackers, so they had to go look it up in their system, and you know, that took even longer. But right when I got up to the checkout, there was a lady that had lost her wallet, and I knew the Lord was saying, pay for her groceries. And I was like, you're awesome, God. Okay, this kind of stuff just elates me. It's like, okay, this is so exciting. Adventure in the Holy Spirit, you know, instead of having to. And so I paid for her groceries, and it really wasn't even that much, but I paid for her groceries. And when she was gone looking for her wallet, and when she came back, I kind of snuck pay for groceries, but then the cashier told her, and I just said, I didn't feel like I was supposed to preach her a message. Even that, God knows what people are ready to hear. And so I did, but I just said, the thing I did feel like I was supposed to tell her is, just know that God loves you. I just want you to know that God loves you. That's it. And she just started bawling right there in the grocery store. And I gave her a hug. I mean, it was just like, you are awesome, God. Well, those kind of things happen to me all the time because he knows I want to live led by the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about, girl. I mean, wow. She was talking about it on the TV program the other day that we taped, Wendy. And now I get that done, but I also get my list done. I mean, I can't tell you how it happens, guys. It's by His grace. But the Holy Spirit, if I follow Him, I get that done and I get my list done. This happened the other day when I was talking to those ladies by messenger, right? I told you. I knew that it was right. Now, sometimes I'll not do like I talked to that lady, the text message the other day, and I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew that the Holy Spirit had said, don't open that text. And I didn't do that. And I wasn't obedient. I didn't do that right. But that's okay. I still loved, righteous, forgiven. And when I remember that, then I'm more obedient. That's why I just keep getting more and more and more obedient, because that's what God's grace does to you. It changes your heart, see? And so, but that day when I was talking to those ladies by messenger, I knew it was God. I mean, it was so anointed. It was so powerful. And I was supposed to have gone to the grocery store. Well, I was supposed to do a lot of things because I was getting ready for this trip. God caused them all to work out. It all worked out, okay? And I knew ahead of time. I don't even question anymore. I'm like, you're going to work it out, God. You'll work it out because I'm trusting in you, not myself, okay? So I just want to read you a few scriptures about the law, okay? And what the law does, you know? I didn't get through all of that, Galatians 3, but read that for yourself later if you want to as well. Let me see where these start. Here we go. Oh, this is so interesting. So I've told you why it's important to live this way. When they arrived, this is, by the way, this is, they think you might have this, Acts 15, 4 through 6, and 10 and 11. So let's see. And if not, no problem. In the New Living Translation. So Acts 15. No problem. Okay, I'll read it. That's okay. All right. I love this church. It's so pretty. That's cool. I was just thinking that. Okay. So 4 and 5, Acts 15, 4 and 5, 4 through 6. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Barnabas and Paul were welcomed by the whole church, including the apostles and elders. They reported everything God had done through them. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees. Forgot to tell you, that was another thing that was true about me. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees when I lived under the law, because I thought, oh, they're not doing it as good as me. They're not doing it as good as me. Or if I was not having a good day, they're better than me, you know. But I mean, I judged people a lot. I sat on the judgment throne a lot. So here's some Pharisees here. It says, but then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted, the Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. Verse 6, so the apostles and elders met together to resolve the issue. Verses 10 and 11, so they asked this to the Pharisees. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? Wow, I found that today. I was so excited. We believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Okay, here's another one about the law. This is Romans 4, 13 through 16. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience. Man, it says this stuff right in the Bible. I think, how did I miss this all those years? But I did. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on... Wait a minute. But on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. Oh my goodness. Because like I said, if you don't do it all perfectly, you failed. If you want to live that way, though, be my guest. But I bet nobody here wants to after I've told you about this. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Oh, my goodness. Woo-hoo-hoo! Jesus has ushered us into the new covenant. Oh, my gosh. And he's fulfilled the law. Amen. Okay? We're not under the law. We're not under the law. He finished it. He nailed that list of requirements to the cross, okay? So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. See, God's unmerited favor. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. Oh, my goodness. And you might think, well, okay, I got to work up enough faith then. Let me tell you something. I really love this statement that Pastor Jeff Perry made about faith. He said, faith is simply relying on how good God is. Amen. I love that. Reliance on how good God is. I've never forgotten that. I love that. So it's not about us trying to work something up. It's all about Jesus. Okay. Now, I just want to read you, because I've read you some about the law, and I'll read a few more scriptures about Jesus. Because my whole purpose in this message was to show you what would happen to you, just the futility of living under the law, but yet, on the other side, the benefits of following Christ. The futility of trusting in the law, the benefits of trusting in Christ. So now I'm going to read to you 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. That's what Jesus did for us. 1 Peter 3:18. And then Luke 22:20, I've been talking about this all night. After supper was over, he, Jesus, lifted the cup again and said, "This cup is my blood of the new covenant, I make with you, and it will be poured out soon for all of you." So Jesus ushered us into that new covenant. Let me tell you something about the new covenant. It is an agreement between the Father and Jesus. It is an agreement between God and Jesus. I mean, Jesus is God, but am I saying that right? The Father and Jesus? Okay? We're out of the equation. Am I saying that right? We're out. This is the first time I've actually taught that. I want to make sure I did it right. We're out of the equation. Means you cannot mess it up. It's not based on what you do or don't do. Man, I mean, that is good news right there. And some people would think, you can't teach people that. It's going to make them sin. It will not make you sin. It'll make you fall in love with Jesus. I'm telling you. I'm so in love with Jesus. And so, I mean, that is just amazing. So the covenant is between God and Jesus. Okay? Jesus fulfilled it all for us. Oh my gosh, so good. Okay, now I'm just going to read you out of Isaiah. I'm just going to read you what our wonderful Jesus did for us. He was despised and rejected by men, man of sorrows and pain and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or esteem him. But in fact, he has borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has caused the wickedness of us all, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, to fall on him instead of us. Wow. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth to complain or defend himself. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before her shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53, 3 through 7. Why would we want to live under the law, the old covenant of law, when we can put all our faith in Jesus and what he has done for us? Why would we any longer want to live with that thought of, I need to do this, when we could live under the new covenant of God's grace, knowing it's what Jesus has already done? It just makes you grateful. It just causes you to be humble, and just, it causes you to be so usable, and it just causes you to be everything that you wanted to be under the old covenant, all because of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I think she loves Jesus. You know, it's awesome. I was just thinking when she was talking about Jesus fulfilling the law. Thank you for that word. That was just, that was so good. So good, so good. It's right there in Galatians 3:27. It says, those that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, that those that have really, you know, received Christ, that we have put on Christ. And you know what that means is that everything that he did was fulfilled in us. So he fulfilled the law, and since I'm in him and since I've put him on, that means that that fulfillment of the law has also been applied to me. His life is now my life. I'm just in him, I move in him, I live in him. So that's why I just look to him, because, you know, I don't have to look to myself anymore. I've already put him on. And it's just awesome. Man, that's just rest. So I just believe in that. Amen.